Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, guys. DJS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday. Happy Election Day. Going to have several guests coming on. I'm about to welcome our buddy Jeff Smith to the air. We'll check in with our pal Maria Kina. Greg Warren, the comedian, is going to give us a little comic relief coming up at 2:30. We're going to talk to Kurt Barr. Going to talk to Alvin Reed, David Barklage. So we try to keep things as even as we can here on the DGS. As you guys know, we have our opinions, but we're always willing to listen to others. Speaking of, you can call anytime today at 314-436-7900. You can also go to the Odyssey app, download that at odyssey.com. Right next to the orange listen live, you'll see a microphone. You can click on that. You can leave us a message. I would encourage you to leave Rachel a message because she will be part of the election coverage tonight, and that's part of what you're doing, right, Rach?
Yeah, I would love to hear your voting experience, whether you voted early or you voted today. I just want to know how it went for you. So leave us a voice memo and that'll get played on the air at some point.
Jeff Smith, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. Dave, how are you, man?
Doing well. Voted this morning, went easy, swimmingly, made all my choices, felt good about it. And as I said, even though these are the waters that we swim in, you and I both, we do this for a living. We talk about politics all the time. I have a radio show. You're a consultant, professor. When you actually fill out that ballot and you put it in the little machine and it says ballot validly accepted, my heart swells with pride.
I feel the same way. There's all the back and forth over the last couple election cycles about early voting and absentee voting and all that. And I like to go on election day and just absorb it all and appreciate what we all have. Even if we disagree about things from time to time, appreciate that, you know, we all get a chance to go and have our voice heard, as long as you're not a felon who's, you know, currently under supervision, which I'm working to change. But that's neither here nor there. I love that about this country.
So how are you feeling about it? I know that you not only have your finger on the pulse, but you understand this a lot more than the average bear. A lot of people from your camp are feeling pretty good, feeling like that there may be a few more phantom Harris voters than phantom Trump voters. What's your opinion?
That's certainly what it's feeling like from reports I'm getting from the ground in Pennsylvania and Georgia and North Carolina. People I know in those states, they're saying that youth turnout seems extraordinarily high, and young people, even though Trump has done unexpectedly well among some young men, young people still are, you know, according to most polling, coming down about 60-40 for Harris. And so a big youth turnout is going to benefit Harris. We're also seeing reports of huge urban turnout in Philadelphia and in Charlotte and in Atlanta. And those are three very important cities. And, you know, that's part of American, you know, the footprint of American politics at this phase is Democrats do extremely well in cities and Republicans do very well in rural areas. And so if you're seeing really big turnout in cities, it's probably a good sign for Democrats.
So this morning I was listening to Total Information AM, as I do every morning, and Megan Lynch had your friend in mind, Gene Evans, the former director of the RNC here in Missouri, on. And I was so jealous because it was such a great interview. And she pretty much talked about what it was like for Gene when she was the candidate. So I'm just going to rip that off and use you as my Gene, because you've been there as well. Talk us through something that most people will never experience, and that's being the candidate at the polls.
I love it. It was my favorite part of campaigning. I would get to the first poll site. My goal was to try to get to every poll site in the district over the course of the day. So I would do, you know, 10-15 minutes at a poll site, try to shake 100 hands of, you know, everybody who was coming in during the morning rush, and just look at every person in the eye and shake their hand. And, you know, don't try not to be obnoxious. Just say, hey, I'm Jeff Smith, would love your consideration. And then they move on. And it's such an adrenaline rush, and just, you know, rushing around the city, seeing all the different neighborhoods, you know, throughout the region. I was on a congressional ballot the first time. And so seeing, you know, the urban parts, the suburban parts, the exurban parts, the rural parts of St. Genevieve County. I loved that part of being a candidate. And it was literally the only day of my first campaign that I felt like I might win, because for the entire year before that, I was a total long shot. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I saw the response that people had at the poll sites to the mail and the television ads that I felt like, you know what, we just might win this thing.
So, Jeff, let's drill down on that a little bit. I think it's fascinating. So you're an academic. You're a really smart guy. You're very well educated in this. And then you're knocking on suburban, exurban, and inner city doors. What was it like going from the ivory towers of academia to on the ground talking to Joe and Janice?
Well, the main thing I kind of realized was that I'd wasted 6 years of my life getting a PhD. Because there's nothing that can really prepare you. I mean, I'm being a little facetious.
No, I get it. I get it. Yeah. There's
nothing that can really prepare you for what you learn on the ground every single day knocking on doors. In my first race, I knocked on 26,000 doors myself.
My goodness.
My campaign knocked on 95,000. You know, my second race, I knocked on even more, 27,000, because I wanted to beat what I did the first time around. That's where you really learn politics. It's where you learn how to listen to people. It's where you learn how to pick up hints and clues of things that you, bumper stickers you see, something you see through a window, you know, a painting, a toy, a poster, to be able to start a conversation about the Cardinals or the Blues or a school that you have in common or anything that can let you establish common ground for 30 seconds before you say, you know, why you're really there.
Yeah.
And that there's nothing in graduate school that you can learn in a textbook that prepares you or that, you know, gives you the kind of feel and instincts for voters and how they think that it gives you when you just knock on doors every day. I'm at 96,000 doors now in my life. I say I'm going to quit when I get to 100,000. But that's, I think, how I've learned more than anything about not just politics, but about this region and the neighborhoods and the fabric.
I think that's fascinating. You've had an experience that less than 0.01% of humans will ever have interacting with that many people in that sort of awkward setting. So let me ask you this. When you would speak to someone who disagreed with you, I'm not saying that you walked away like, what an idiot. But I mean, would you typically walk away from it thinking, I just learned something valuable by this person giving me their opposing views? Or did you typically think, oh, I wish they weren't so ill-informed because they would agree with me if they weren't?
So look, I'm so blessed that my friend circle is like pretty much evenly mixed, Democrat and Republican. And I have like dear, dear friends that I am texting with every single day who are very conservative Republicans. And I love the banter back and forth. A lot of things I've come closer to the middle on, you know, as I've aged. But there's one thing that I haven't really moderated on in the last 4 years. And that's, you know, like what happened after the last election. because I really believe firmly in the rule of law. And so, and, you know, and that peaceful transfers of power are pretty essential to American democracy. So, so that's kind of an area where I haven't, don't really compromise, but I feel really lucky for that. And I learned knocking on doors, kind of, I think, how to be respectful of people with whom I have policy disagreements. And I do try to listen, and I did try to learn. And, you know, I'm a Democrat who lobbies the Republican supermajority legislature now. So you got to try to find common ground with people. My theory of the case when I was in the state Senate was always, if there's somebody that you disagree with 90% of the time, find that 10% of issues and try to work on it with them. And then maybe next year it'll get to 15% or 20%. And once you've established that trust and kind of, you know, goodwill that you really can, like, know that someone's coming from a good place, there's, you know, no limit to what you, the good that you can do by working together.
So let's talk about that briefly before I let you go. As we both know, as everyone listening, regardless of your political stripes, know, and I think believes, that if Donald Trump is not declared the winner, that he will probably declare himself the winner and mount some sort of defense to it. Is your intuition this time around that people would say, like, sorry, Donald, we've seen this movie before, we're not in on this one with you? Or do you think it could be as bad or worse than last time?
Wait, he hasn't declared himself the winner yet? Yeah, I think it'll be as bad or worse than last time. And I think that because I was naive to be optimistic 3 years, 11 months, and 3 weeks ago. I came on your show and I did it with a Republican friend of mine. And at that point, he basically said, hey, the election's over and we need to regroup. And, you know, that friend now is basically mocks me when I bring up January 6th. And that's true of a lot of my Republican friends who 3 years and 11 months ago were saying the same thing, or 3 years and 10 months ago, were saying the same things that Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy and most Republican elected officials said at that point, which was that, you know, President Trump incited that mob and was the cause of what happened that day and needed to be thoroughly condemned for that. It's been sad to me to watch so many people memory hole what happened that day and minimize it or deflect. And, you know, I'm really hopeful that things would go different this time, but I can't say I'm optimistic that if he loses, 90% of Republicans won't go along with what he's saying.
That is Jeff Smith, good friend of the DGS. Jeff, enjoy your election evening, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Great to visit with you guys. See ya.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday. Happy Election Day. It's finally here. KMOX, we have it wall-to-wall this evening. Megan Lynch and Michael Calhoun will be anchoring with the help of Hancock and Kelly, who will also be on Fox 2 tonight. So Fox 2 will be featuring KMOX and vice versa. Griffin and Scott and Sean are all going to be out there. Our very good friend Maria Kina joins us now. Hello, Maria.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
So are you just kind of running around today? What's your assignment out there?
Yes, I'm roaming right now. Probably later this evening, I'll be at the St. Louis County Election Board. But right now, I'm just roaming around at different polls, seeing what's happening.
What stands out to you so far?
Well, for one, a Chick-fil-A was just delivered to one of the poll workers here at the Nottingham branch where they're voting. It's a steady flow of people right now. I would say there are no lines, so if you want to vote, this is definitely the good time. And I suspect with all the lines that we saw leading up to this, mm-hmm. with the absentee, no, you know, excuse absentee voting, I suspect that maybe we're not going to really see these long lines going today like we did in the days leading up to this.
I think you're right. I voted this morning, and there was literally not a person in front of me, and I asked him how the morning had been. I got there about 8:30, and they said between 6 and 8 had been crazy and lines out the door, and then at 8 o'clock it was like someone shut off a faucet.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's just what's going to happen because, you know, like Booter, which was one of the places you could vote in the city before election day, and every time you went over there, it was just lines out the building constantly until they would, from the time they opened up until they closed. And that's just not the case now at the polling places. And of course, you have more, so people are more spread out and can go different places. Something that you could do also this year, you have curbside voting. That's something that came out of the pandemic. So if there's anyone with a disability or for some reason you can't get out of your car, they will come right up to your car. And you can also vote at any polling place as a city resident. It's the same way in the county. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to a specific polling place.
Very good. And tell me again, you're where tonight?
I will probably be at the St. Louis County Election Board, which is out in St. Ann, just waiting for results to come in and seeing, you know, how the local races are doing.
Huh, that's exciting. Very good. Well, check back in with us if anything happens or if anyone gets more food delivered.
I will.
We're big on the food delivery here.
Andrew really peaked. He texted me and said, let's do another segment with Maria. Did she stay home until 5?
That's why I led off with that. I know you all like that.
Oh, yeah. She knows the DGS.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maria. We appreciate it.
Take care, guys. Okay.
I love her.
That's great.
Yeah.
I did love that detail. I know my head perked. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. I thought she was heading somewhere like, and it was bribery, and they were arrested. They said Chick-fil-A. They said a spicy chicken sandwich.
Yep.
That's funny.
She knows her audience.
So two big endorsements came out in the last 24 hours. Joe Rogan endorsed President Trump, and Dick Van Dyke endorsed Kamala Harris.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Two titans.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Does Dick Van Dyke always been involved in politics or never before?
I think it's his first time.
Really?
I had been waiting for my annual Dick Van Dyke voter guide to come out, so I'm very glad.
Yeah, you got it.
Just in time.
Wow, he's 98 years old.
Yeah. Still very spry. So I no longer have child boxing on my TikTok.
Oh, okay.
You've moved the algorithm?
Yes. I now have baby karate.
Oh, baby even better.
Karate. I'm talking like children who can barely walk and they're wearing a gi and headgear and boxing gloves and boxing feet gloves and just beating the crap out of each other.
I'm going to say that's probably a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Not that you're
doesn't
getting them,
right.
But like for parents,
I don't feel
like
good about it.
Your kids that age should probably not be taking blows to the head.
Here's what happened, though. They sent me the first one and I watched it because I'm like, is this real? Is this AI? They really have sanctioned matches for babies in karate?
Like babies, you mean like what age? Like years?
Two.
Two?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I could probably find one for you.
Like that's
pop up old TikTok.
It's all over the algorithm.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have babies playing football or anything like that.
They play football pretty young, dude.
I mean, like, yeah, like 5 or 6, but even that's too young.
Do they have any head protection?
They did. They had headgear on.
Okay.
And they weren't like throwing haymakers.
No, I know.
Because they're two.
But my guess is they probably fall a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, again, I know sports dork here, but like, you don't have to get hit very hard or fall very far for your brain to shake inside your head.
Yeah. It's just jello.
And when you're a baby, your brain is literally not cooked.
Mm-hmm.
I also saw a thing. This thing always fascinates me. Do you know what the odds are of you being born?
100%.
Oh, I hate it. God, I dread tomorrow morning at Sparks Auto. It's going to be nothing but that wall to wall. One in 400 trillion.
Wow.
Yeah, one in 400 trillion. Think about that. When we talk about winning the lottery,
yeah,
and they're like, don't even play, no chance, one in 400 trillion.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and King Wax 233. I keep introducing people as friends of the show, but we do have lots of friends in the show. Comedian Greg Warren is going to be at the Funny Bone, Westport, November 7th through the 10th. He has a new podcast with a couple of buddies of ours, Tim Convey and Sean O'Brien, called The Consumers. He joins us now live in studio. Always good to see you. Isn't that wonderful? You're one of those people it's always good to see.
Oh, thanks, man. It's great to see you guys, man. Yeah, I listen to you guys. I listen to Wheels on every baseball podcast that exists, man.
I think he's on every baseball podcast.
He is, and he's so good, man. Yeah, he's really, really good. Yeah, yeah. It's good to see you, man. I've been, this is my favorite week of the year. I'm home.
Yeah.
I've been hitting it, man. I've been traveling, eating a lot of barbecue. Yeah. I go every town now. I go to a barbecue place in every town, and I don't ask them anymore where to go, like the locals, because they're like prejudiced against proximity. I'll be like, hey, I want to go to this place by my hotel. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go. That's not real barbecue right there. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to get on the freeway. You're going to go about 45 miles. Okay. You're going to come to a rusted down mailbox. You make it right there. There's a gravel road. And you're going to go there for another 15 miles. At the end, there's a man lives in a dirt hole. Now, he comes out of that hole every Thursday morning with a brisket. Now that's some barbecue right there. That's what he don't take money. You got to give him baseball cards. But listen, it's a good thing. Yeah, it's
no man is a prophet in his hometown. You're right.
Yeah, that's exactly it. God, man, that is so true with comedy, man.
Oh,
because
sure.
When you're coming up in comedy, the last place that'll headline you is the place where you started. They're like, no, that guy, he sucked.
Remember?
For so many years.
Don't you remember?
This guy sucked. We're not going to. No way. Like, yeah.
What is it like? What is it like doing comedy at your level now where you're hanging out with Borgazzi and all these guys? Is it like sports where you go, I'm faster than him, but he's got a better arm? Or is it even, is that even a consideration anymore?
No, I mean, I don't do too much. I mean, you have to, you know, I opened for Nate a couple weeks this year, and it's, I noticed the difference between the comedy club that I'm playing and the NBA arena that he's playing. So, but Nate, like, he's a guy that even before it hit, that I've always sort of admired in that he has a unique style where he does not push at all. Like, he just says what he's going to say in the manner that he's going to say it. Now, there's writing behind it. Don't get me wrong. This guy has a very, very sharp comedic mind. So he knows where he's going. But it doesn't feel at all like he has an agenda. You know, you'll feel a little momentum with me. I mean, he is always leaning back, never leaning forward. And even before, you know, I noticed that. Now, it's pretty cool to see it in front of 18,000 people. Like, oh, you're not even trying. It's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we...
Would you call that supreme confidence? I mean, is that where it comes from?
Yeah, it's funny because he's always had that sort of quiet confidence. Yeah, where he just is like, you guys will either come to me or you won't. But I'm going to say what I'm going to say. Birbiglia is another one that has that sort of same style where you'll either come to me or you won't. I've sort of come from that, like, we got to get him.
We got to get him.
Chase him down.
Give these people no choice.
Yeah, now I've learned to lean back a little bit, you know, but I'm like, oh, these people paid money to be here. But yeah, he's had it. It's funny. I met Nate's dad who's a world-class magician, like one of the best magicians out there.
Oh, he's done jokes about that. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and he's funny. His dad's extremely funny. So I met him backstage at one of these things, and he did like some magic for me. And then just talking, I'm like, okay, like I get a little bit where some of this came from, because like his dad's really a funny guy, and it's like he has sort of that quiet confidence. That's not to say that he's going to work like crazy to get there, but I see where some of it came from. Like, my dad was a wrestling coach. I had some advantages over the guys that I, you know, were wrestling. You know, I started when I was five. So, like, he's got some of it. But, yeah, it's pretty cool to see, man.
Did you come from a funny family?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad's a little corny, but my mother was a columnist for the Kirkwood Webster Times for 12 years. She wrote a humor column there, and she reviewed books for the Post for 20 years. So yeah. Very, very funny. I go back and I read some of her columns and I'm like, oh, okay.
I don't know your real story. How young were you when you started this?
Well, I had a lot of false starts. I did it a little bit at Mizzou, but I was wrestling. And then I got the job that I've talked to you about a little before. I got the job with Procter & Gamble right out of college. And I was sort of oscillating between, man, I'm making a lot of money and I'm moving up. Like maybe I should just be, you know, maybe I should do the corporate thing, get married, have kids, and it just never really set. But I was there for 10 years. So I was in and out of comedy during those 10 years. That last like 3 years of that, I was in pretty heavy, even when I was with Procter & Gamble, and I kind of saw, if I get a little better, I may quit. And then in 2001, I quit.
Yeah.
And did it full-time. And I was pretty sure at that time, in 2003, I'll be back selling something. I was like, just get it out of my. You know what? In comedy, it's in club comedy. It's basically there's an opener, you know, does like 10 minutes and they're beginning, and they make hardly any money. There's a feature act. Back in the day, there was a feature act. The middle guy who would do about a half hour and would do like, you know, they'd get by $500 and you'd get a hotel room, which is not a lot of money. Maybe you sell some t-shirts or something, and then you do the headliner. And that feature guy back in the day when I was coming up was from out of town. They would just go town to town, not making a lot of money, but making enough to live where they got $500 and they give you a hotel room, and, you know, and it's the funnest thing in the world. Well, when I was at Procter & Gamble, I was always the opener. I was, and it's the hardest spot. You know, nobody's paying attention. They think you're going to be bad. I worked in a club a lot in Dayton that served a lot of food. So the food's all coming out, you know. And I just literally, I quit a job making crazy money with great stock options because I just wanted to be the second guy for a while. I was like, wow. I'm tired of being the first guy. Just let me be the second guy. And then I got a couple breaks. Yeah, I got a couple breaks during that year that I quit. And I was like, all right, I'm going to keep going.
So people always ask me, were you the class clown? And I always say I was a writer originally.
Yeah.
I would write for the popular kids.
Really?
Yeah. I would like whisper in someone's ear and then they would say it. And I'd,
Dave's the devil on the shoulder.
Yeah. That's like, great, man.
What was your incubation period as a kid?
I think I was loud. I mean, if shy around people I didn't know, but like in front of a group and around like friends, I did not have an outlet that I have now, and I was borderline obnoxious. I mean, a lot of it also came from like that sort of, I know you were an athlete and you were too. So it's like, I don't know, Rachel might've been too. I don't know.
No.
There's just the misery, especially in college, just the misery of going to college wrestling practice, and like I had to find some way to lighten it up, because I was like, this thing that's in front of me in an hour seems so awful and so, like every day, and it's just like this is going to be a beating for an hour and a half. And I remember developing a lot of my sense of humor on the way to the
interesting
on the way to practice.
Yeah, you know, gallows humor.
That, or just doing dumb stuff. Mm-hmm. Remember Fast Times?
Yes.
Remember when the pizza got delivered to Spicoli?
Yeah.
We had this heavyweight, Bobby Henderson, and I think that might have been before there was a weight limit. Maybe there was. If there was a weight limit, it was like 285, and Bobby was not like a fit 285. He was good wrestler. And we're sitting in the training room getting ready for practice, and we're just miserable. And I ordered a pizza to the wrestling room for Bobby Henderson, and the Domino's dude just walked in the middle of practice, in a Division I college wrestling practice, and our coach is like, what do you want? He goes, I've got a pizza here, sir. He goes, who's it for? He goes, Henderson, sir. He goes, does he look like he needs a pizza? Get out of here. Yeah, it was like stuff like that all the time.
Man,
yeah.
That brings back such memories of like football practice when I was in ninth grade. And I would talk to my buddies before the practice and be like, you think we're going half pads or full pads? Do you think it's full contact today?
Yeah.
Like he had any friggin' idea.
Yeah.
You think they're going to make me run the right 22 power? Because I can't get past Dean Hollis.
And that guy, if he's the kind of friends that I had, even if he knows the answer, he's not going to tell you the right. He'll tell you the one to make you
the most miserable.
Yeah. I remember I had a real rough match against Northern Iowa. And we have this practice like 2 days later. And it's a brutal practice. And at the end of practice, coach goes, we're not done. Meet at the bottom of the stairs. We're going to run stairs. And that was like from the bottom of the Hearns up to the top and down several times. And I turn to my friend Darren Davis. I go, and I was hurt. Like I had a legitimate like back injury. I go to my friend Darren Davis. I go, man, my back is killing me. I go, I don't think I can run these stairs. I go, you think if I asked coach if I could just ride the exercise bike instead of run the stairs, he'd be cool with it? And he goes, yeah, you should ask him.
He's like, please, God.
I think he has
him.
A sympathetic ear.
So I look, and Davis was worse at running. He hated running so much. I was not a bad runner. He hated running. He was more miserable than I. But as I'm asking coach, I look. Everybody had already gone down. So I see him hanging out, looking to see, and the joy in his eyes. Like, he was happy, even though he had the same miserable thing. Needless to say, coach said no. And a lot of extra words.
I was going to say, he didn't just say no.
No, he didn't say no. Yeah, he said a lot of extra. You laid down at Northern Iowa. Get on the stairs. We had to watch film.
You laid down.
That's what he did. That's, he laid down at Northern Iowa. Even we talked about that match. Even that was my freshman year. If I had one bad practice, my practice, Warren, this reminds me of when you laid down at Northern. Even if I had a good practice, Warren, you got after today. Good job. Bunner, you're an embarrassment. You remind me of when Warren laid down at Northern. Like, we would watch film, like, and it was just, like, you know, VCR days or whatever. It was like me and him in this tiny room on the fourth floor of the Hearns building in Columbia watching film. And you didn't watch the good matches. Like,
can't learn from those.
Yeah. We watched the Northern Iowa matches. Look at you, Warren. He goes, I'd put it on pause, but I don't need to because you're not moving.
Going to hang out again?
Yeah.
Comedian Greg Warren is here. He'll be at the Funny Bone November 7th through the 10th. And check out The Consumers, his new podcast with our buddies Tim Convey and Sean O'Brien. Welcome back, guys. DGS and Camel Wax. Our buddy Greg Warren is here. You can see him at the Funny Bone November 7th through the 10th. His new podcast is called The Consumers with Tim Convey and Sean O'Brien. We're just talking about your wrestling career at Mizzou. So I just turned 60, and I was at a QT the other day, and a couple of 25-year-olds were being ignorant with each other, and I was like, oh, this thing could go, you know, sideways real quick. Good thing I'm a tough guy. And then I thought to myself, oh my God, I'm that guy. I'm my dad's friend who thinks he could take me, but he couldn't.
Yeah.
Could you still pull out a couple of moves to survive a bar fight?
I mean, I don't want to test it. Probably not. I don't know. I mean, I think it depends on who you're going up against.
Who you're grappling?
Yeah.
You can probably get a single leg on
him. I had to, when I was living in New York, this is 10 years ago, I was in my mid-40s. Some guy, I'm walking, I hear this guy behind me. He's like, hey, man, what are you looking at? He's like in the East Village. And I turn around, which, by the way, don't do that.
Don't do that.
You go to New York, keep moving.
If you hear somebody yelling,
what are you looking at?
It sounds like your mom, leave her. I turn around, he comes up. He's like, I was talking to you, man. Don't walk in my eyes. I said something like, I don't even know who you are, man. Like, and I might have swore at him or something. And he punched me in the side of the head, and like I hadn't been hit at that point in about 20 years, and I sort of forgot what you were supposed to do. I like panicked for a second, and then I remembered, like, I used to practice a version of this every day in college, and I shot a single leg to the right side and picked his leg up, and he went right down. Like he sucked. Like he was like, like the guy. I will tell
it
you this.
In Northern Iowa.
Dave, this guy never made it past districts. Like probably never got out of the first round of districts. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was crazy. So yeah, he was, he was on something, and then I figured that out. About 20 seconds later, I'm like, what am I doing? This guy's on some crazy, he's either schizophrenic or he's on something crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's maybe the last time I think I got into it. And, I'm going to guess those 25-year-old kids at the convenience store might have had a little more than this guy had.
Yeah.
You don't know, though. I mean, because, you know.
The hardest thing I've ever done athletically, I asked you what the hardest part of wrestling was, and you said wrestling. I ran track, and I played soccer. I played every sport, but I was with the wrestling team. I was buddies with them.
Yeah.
And I would practice with Rob Milazzo, who was 119, and I was about 165. And we were pretty close, because he was good and I was not.
Yeah.
But, like, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute of real wrestling.
Two
minutes
out.
Will kill you.
Oh. Yeah.
I tried to go with an Ohio State kid maybe 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago. Up until like when I was late 30s, my dad was coaching at Kirkwood. And we had this kid, Steve Doty, who's I think he's the high school coach at East St. Louis now. Steve was, he wound up a state champ and he wrestled at Virginia. And I could go. I was just, I was stronger, older, and more mature at that point. You know, he was still like a junior in high school. And I could go. I was in decent shape to go. And then it sort of fell off after that. And I don't know, about 5 years later, I tried to wrestle this college kid at Ohio State. I was at a camp. They brought me in there mostly to make him laugh, to this camp. And then I saw him. I'm like, oh, we'll go. And nobody believes me, but I went with him for about 2 minutes. And then my body shut down. So I got a cold that day. Like, I got a cold. Like, right. I got sick because my body was like, what are you doing? Yeah. And I was like, never again.
It's like, this is a warning.
Yeah, never again.
Wheels, when's the last time you got out there?
For real, for real?
Yeah, not like fought someone, but when you played for real.
Oh, my God. Like, competitively, probably 6, 7 years, 8 years.
Catching?
That's different, though. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah?
I can still do that now. Probably not for a... No, not for 9 innings, but I can see that. Yeah, but it's a different thing. I mean,
he can do anything.
You don't have another person trying to beat the crap out of you.
So are you? Well, even now, will you catch like really good young pitchers or whatever?
Yeah, it comes around. Yeah.
Okay.
Try.
And you can you
only
tell,
with a mask now? Though,
can you tell right away this kid's got something?
You can tell how hard they're throwing right away.
Yeah.
You guys want to see Greg, the Funny Bone, 7th through the 10th? The podcast is The Consumers with Tim Convy, Sean O'Brien. Come back anytime, bye-bye.
Man, I love it, man. Thanks a lot, you guys. Always fun to be here.
You're welcome.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.